San Miguel Treasure Tours is sponsored by St. Michael Academy and is presenting the most famous treasure story of all time with Captain Bob. Captain Bob is the custodian of the life story of the life-size Golden Madonna and Christ Child statue. It's a story he's been telling since 1980, when he first discovered the Maravillas, the Spanish galleon that sank in 1656. The story is the legacy of Captain Bob, Chief Executive Officer of St. Michael Academy, for he's the custodian and discoverer of this unique treasure, a story which has been copyrighted in the Library of Congress. It was in 1980 that Captain Bob found the wreck of the Maravillas near Memory Rock, Bahamas. He's also a marine archaeologist who can provide information and other historical artifacts that were found by the Maravillas shipwreck. Since finding the Maravillas shipwreck, Captain Bob has been searching for the 1,800-pound Golden Madonna and Christ Child statue that was also lost when the Maravillas went down. To those who study such artifacts, Captain Bob is quick to point out that the Golden Madonna statue is priceless, and in the religious world, its value cannot even begin to be measured. So, without further ado, let's go to Captain Bob.
Bob, where we left off in episode one, we were talking about this Russian satellite that had basically crashed through the Earth's atmosphere into basically the ocean, and we left off with a pretty big cliffhanger on where the statue was and why the statue could not be raised, and it had a lot to do with this Russian satellite, correct?
Well, as it turned out, yes. You know, sometimes ignorance is bliss. And I was on my way to the Bahamas to work the wreck, the original wreck of the Maravilla, of course, which the Madonna was on. And this episode happened actually prior to my sailing in the salvage project. Not to confuse you, I had to come back to that site, realizing all these things that happened. Were obviously for my benefit and health, due to radioactivity, et cetera, et cetera. But it was like when I knew in my spirit, in my heart, and in my mind that this was a very important event where this satellite and meteorite fell, and later on, realizing that this was more than just a decay of a satellite in the off the coast of Jupiter, Florida. As I completely investigated the entire episode, I preempted the government, which published a secret publication, probably because the public was demanding about that time, what's going on here, and they called it Operation Morning Light, and they collaborated with the Canadian government and published a. a publication called Operation Morning Light, explaining the episode and leaving out some very important data, where I had already published and copyrighted at the time of the decay of this satellite, knowing in a supernatural way. And here's where we can get into a dimension that is beyond the scope and understanding of man. I knew by faith that this was more than just a satellite that went out of control, and why it was kept secret, because I'd actually gotten pieces of both, meteor and satellite.
Okay. Now, is this...
I checked them out, and they were radioactive.
Now, is this satellite... Now, these are going to get a lot of questions here when you say you knew they were radioactive. Is this, number one, is this satellite still submerged to this day?
Pieces of it. It the satellite itself did not fall in large chunks. Part of it came in Great Slave. That's why my book, the second volume, is called Great Slave to Jupiter.
Okay.
What happened was the satellite was decaying. Not unlike, and if you want to date this is fine, that there was a recent publication that a United States satellite is decaying.
Well, that's
very moment.
That was my question. I had some questions about that as well, but we'll talk about the old we'll talk about the old satellite first.
All right. The old satellite went like this. The episode went like this. It was a Russian killer satellite which I would define by saying they had the ability to move this anywhere in space and explode it. That's why they call it killer satellite. And it was developed by the Russian government in order to eliminate our satellites. Of course, if they knock out our GPS satellites, we're blind as bats, even in military war.
Oh, yeah.
So it really was a war in space going on, and the government certainly wasn't revealing it to anybody between us and at that time the USSR, not the Russian Federation, but the USSR. Now, this satellite was used to program, the Russians wanted to program a very important arms race question. Did we at that time, and this we're going back to 1978 now, did we at that time have an anti-ballistic missile system?
Mm.
And you're probably saying, gee whiz, how do you know all this? Well, I researched this, and it became part of my life. I added it to me being a gunner in the U.S. Air Force in SAC. I have a little understanding about aeronautics in a certain way and what's going on. I know about NORAD, North Atlantic
Air Defense Ministry or something
Air
like
Defense,
that.
Air Defense Administration, which detects all problems and actually monitors every particle in space.
Right.
And, of course, the Russians very neatly told us that we've lost control of this satellite. And of course, I preempted this with a publication myself, which connected with the Jupiter area where I believe the Madonna was, which crashed off of Jupiter, Florida. And I was part of that, very much part of that, and was published quite heavily in the Palm Beach Post because of it, because I came out with some public statements. And having been a creditable person at the time, because I had run for the state Senate in politics and of somewhat of a political character, it was hanging around the Palm Beach County. They listened to me, and because of my professionalism as a landscape architect, etc., and not necessarily a treasure captain, but I got a whole lot of press out of it, and it was really quite astounding, because what I was doing, I suppose I was driving the National Security Agency and President Carter crazy. Because I was coming out with stuff, and they didn't want anyone to know.
Right.
Here's how it went. The Russians informed us, because they didn't want to go to war, but with us bombing, this satellite was headed for Washington, D.C.
Oh, jeez.
It had over 100 pounds of uranium-235 on board.
Hmm.
That's 10 times Hiroshima.
Wow.
And that's part of our story, Great Slave to Jupiter, which I inserted in my total book called God's Ocean as the second volume. Now, when this was headed for Washington, D.C., if it would enter into the atmosphere in total form, it would disintegrate and form a scatter pattern of radioactivity, not only in the Washington, D.C. area, but in New York City. Now, they were aiming it for that knowing, and by the way, we were at war in space. I guess you would call it a secret war in space that was going on between us and the Russian government. The Russians simply wanted to test our anti-ballistic missile system. Did we or did we not have it? We were sort of boasting and pounding our chest a little bit. And so they informed us they lost control of this satellite, and it was headed for Washington, D.C. Well, now, without telling one person in the public domain, they evacuated President Carter secretly and the cabinet and left, I guess, the poor peons that vote for him to be contaminated totally with radioactivity.
Huh.
Well, and interesting. That's a pretty profound statement, isn't it?
Yeah, no. It's kind of scary almost. Well, I should say
it's not only scary. It's happening today.
I know
that was a Russian satellite then. Today it's a U.S. spy satellite, and it was published. I'll get into that later. Let's go to the old one now.
Yeah.
The old one, as it was coming in. What could we do? Nothing. What could the Russians do? Nothing. They admitted they had lost total control of this. Now, poor Captain Bob is sitting in the middle of a story, or actually in the beginning of a story. I felt that there was something serious going on here that needed to be published. So how would I do it without the FBI or the CIA coming at my front door?
Right.
To stop me from revealing national security measures, because certainly our government didn't want to tell the Russian government that we, or the USSR, that we didn't have the anti-ballistic missile. They were probably bluffing each other back and forth, much like the Cuba crisis with President Kennedy, correct?
Right, yeah, no, exactly.
There was a lot of BS going on between both of them, Khrushchev and Kennedy. Of course, we won that one, right?
Yeah.
Remember, because I'm going to be saying something to you about this present satellite in 2008. And, of course, the Russians wanted to put anti-ballistic and missiles under our underbelly in Florida, correct?
Correct.
In Cuba.
Correct.
And
yep.
We almost went to war over it, correct?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, we did go to war in space, though. But, see, the public didn't know that.
Ah.
So, poor Captain Bob gets caught up in this because he has faith with the good Lord and actually retrieved pieces of this satellite as it came into Jupiter, found out it was radioactive because I had the persona to take it to and knowledge to take it to the, how do I say it, the nuclear plant in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to hold a radioactive piece of material in my household that would kill everybody. So I started to thinking, gee whiz, I must be onto something here. This isn't just a religious experience. This is something that I need to hang on to. So I published in order to be able to forego the government knocking on my door and say, keep your mouth shut or you're a goner.
Right.
Or the CIA just bumping me off, you know.
Right.
By the way, I believe those things can happen. And and so make a long story shorter. No, let's make the long story longer.
Okay, go for it.
What really happened was I met up with a cop that saw this crash in the ocean and 33 other people in Jupiter, and it was published. They saw this huge flash of light in the midday come crashing into the ocean. And I was able to identify where it went.
Hmm.
Now, I knew this had something to do with me going to the Bahamas because I'm a – let me explain something to you, JB. I'm a believer in the power supreme.
Okay.
You know – I'm rather stupid about certain things, but I'm pretty bright about other things. Whenever I employ the knowledge and the guidance and put in motion a faith that I've gained with the Almighty, and I've come up with some pretty decent answers because He gives me a whole lot of help, and I'm not a scientist. I'm just a plain old tarpon spring sponge diver that became a captain.
Right.
Yes, I got into politics. I've done some exciting things in my life. However, this episode bugged me a little bit, so I said, well, the government's being pissy about this, and they're not interested in telling the public. I'm going to publish some stuff. And so I used my contacts with the Post and a few other people, and they started printing, you know. But a lot of people, you know, called me the meteor man, you know, because they were making fun of the fact that he saw this meteor. But I have actually in possession with me today pieces of the Russian satellite after I had the metallurgy test done on. It was only produced in the USSR. I was able scientifically, after moving by faith in a profound way. And so I put together a story. But my story tells it from my perspective, not the government's. The government's
right.
Came out with Operation Morning Light, which was really, they were forced to do that, and I feel like I helped force them. They had to tell the public sometime that parts of it fell in Canada, and I even talked personally with the two young scientists that were 25 and 28 years old who came from Texas and probably dead now because they were right smack in the middle of the radioactive area, the highly radioactive area that was even detectable from the air. The majority of it fell in there. So you have to ask yourself, how could pieces fall in Jupiter and pieces fall in Canada? Great slave in Canada to Jupiter, Florida.
That's almost 2,000 miles apart, probably?
Easy answer.
Go ahead.
1 billion to one shot. If God Almighty doesn't want Russia to know that the U.S. is just bluffing, they don't have an anti-ballistic missile system. 1978 we're talking about now. Somebody's got to have some divine... Somewhere we have to have a little divine intervention, wouldn't you say?
If we didn't have it...
You ever play billiards?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
God is the best billiard player in the entire universe. He took a meteor and he whacked this satellite just before it entered into the decay pattern of space, and knocked it off course where it wouldn't hit Washington, D.C. and New York.
Oh.
And, in fact, disintegrated it to such an extent that there weren't any really very large pieces. Part of it revolved around the globe, the planet, several more revolutions, and part of particles fell into Jupiter, Florida, in the ocean, and particles fell in Canada. Thus, you have great slave to Jupiter. Gotcha. I have a great copyright covering that story. Now, the government comes out with Operation Morning Light, spinning it their way, making themselves hero once again. But I got everyone very excited. I sent letters to the Canadian nuclear committees, all the Livermore in Arizona, New Mexico, all the secret bases that we were developing, our weaponry. I sent them my story and drove them all wacko because I was only testing the waters. I get answers. So if it's a kook, you don't answer a kook, you ignore him, right?
Right.
Oh, no. The Canadian government contacted me. I get contacted by everyone. I even visited the FBI office to make sure I wasn't violating the Neutrality Act. Because here I'm smack in the middle of of the USSR and the U.S. government having a war in space, and the public doesn't know it, and the president and the cabinet gets evacuated secretly, and the poor public doesn't know it. And if God hadn't taken that meteor and intercepted that Cosmos 954, we wouldn't have a Washington, D.C. today, which might not be a bad idea.
Some may agree with you on that.
I don't want to say that because the truth is the Muslims are trying to annihilate it. I'd like to see our capital to remain somewhat intact until God's ready to get rid of this whole mess. But the truth of the matter is, he's either going to clean it up or he's going to get rid of it, right?
Right, yeah.
I don't think he's going to sweep it under the rug. So here the Lord saved America. And this poor little peon that wants to go find a shipwreck is caught in the middle. Wait a minute. Do I stop everything and start doing something in Jupiter? No. My plans are to go and work with the Maravilla, find the shipwreck. But it led me back to this site again because I find out later through the secret archives, of which is why your next question you're going to ask me, why did I go to Spain? Because of my connections with them. The secret records in Spain clearly stated that the Maravilla got secretly salvaged.
Oh.
And the salvage ships never made it back to Spain.
Hmm.
They actually sunk off Jupiter, Florida, of which one particular location is where the satellite went in. Now, that's a very weird coincidence, is it not?
It is. Now,
Why would it be so weird if God can take a meteor and play billiards and throw it and destroy a satellite incoming to our capital? And, you know, God was still on our side, I think, at that time. That was 1978. I'm very doubtful that he is now. So I don't know why we keep saying God bless America. But anyway, I guess in hopes that the Lord will return his blessings to us. But the bottom line is, I'm a little ticked off. Why? Why doesn't the government admit it? What do? All right. They turn around. Have you ever been to Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida?
I've been to Breakers. Yes, I have.
1 year later, after I published and put it, copyrighted it and put it in the Palm Beach Post, so I could be talking about this without someone arresting me for violating copyright.
Right.
I already had the story intact, very briefly done. I think it was about 300 words, and I put it in the Palm Beach Post, copyrighted it, put it in the Library of Congress before the government ever released
their version of it. Their version,
yes.
Of it, yeah.
And so I'm already home free. I can say what I want to about it. They can't stop me legally.
Right.
And so what happens? A guy named Jay Solomon, he was a cabinet member, head of the GSA with President Carter.
Okay.
Now, mind you, I even wrote President Carter.
Ah.
I said, what gives here? And he says, very politely, sent me back a letter. So see, here's how it goes, JB. They don't answer kooks.
Right.
But they have to answer something that's a reality.
Sure.
That they want to sort of subdue it, right?
Right.
They want to camouflage it, subdue it, put up a smoke screen, or eliminate it. And I guess God wouldn't let them eliminate me. So they figured, well, this guy's too insignificant. He's a little fly on an elephant's back. So we'll just leave him alone and just try to pluck his feathers away.
Sure.
His wings away so this fly can't go nowhere.
Right.
He has to stay on the hind end of the elephant.
Right.
So the bottom line is I'm in the Breakers Hotel, and Jay Solomon announces in a speech that he gave this whole episode.
Wow.
He actually states it, and it gets printed that they did secretly evacuate President Carter and the cabinet. They were afraid of this infiltration of radioactivity hurting the populace and causing billions of dollars of damage. But doggone it, Jay Solomon's Jewish. And I don't know why he didn't give God credit. Because the truth is, we didn't do one daggum thing. We had no anti-ballistic missile system. We did not knock this thing off its path. Why didn't he simply say, but miraculously, NORAD picks up a meteorite that intercepts this satellite, knocks it off its course for Washington. We didn't have to evacuate the president and the cabinet. And therefore, God saved America.
Okay, now my question here is, and I'm sure a ton of people have a lot of follow-up questions here as well. Off the coast of Jupiter, was it pieces of a satellite, or was it pieces of a meteor and a satellite that crashed in off the coast of Jupiter?
Both. I have pieces of both.
Gotcha. And so basically we're saying divine intervention is what pretty much destroyed this killer satellite that was getting ready to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, correct?
And admitted by the GSA, Jay Solomon, at the Breakers Hotel a year later, after I had already published, because I had pieces of this and had gone through a whole year of, if I could just tell you what went through my mind for a year.
Oh, I'm sure.
I checking this out, keeping it, trying to find out the engineering data belonging to radioactivity. 2 inches of lead is equal to 30 feet of water. which contains radioactivity,
right?
And keeps people from getting hurt. And here I'm handling the thing, and then I go to this was an episode that made me swallow my tongue, or my heart really. I get this wild idea. Well, let's see if I can go to the nuclear plant. They must have equipment for measurement,
right?
Of radioactivity,
Geiger counters, because, stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Supernaturally, I go through all the personnel that the security,
right?
And I meet the top bananas there, and I say, I got something I want you guys to check. So I went through a threshold, I'll never forget this, and these red lights went off and the bells started ringing, because I've got pieces of the satellite in my hands,
right,
in my pocket. And they said, all I can remember now, he's hot, get away from him. And I said, all right. And then they measured it and they said, well, pretty strong, but by that time, evidently, the divine intervention again, and it reduced the radioactivity to a level that didn't kill me.
Right.
But I guarantee you one thing: I'll never have cancer in my whole life.
Oh wow!
I think I've been pre-programmed for radioactivity, that the cancer can't exist in my body.
That might be a plus.
Well, yeah, if the medical science will back up what we just said,
right?
Agree to boot. But anyway, they found it was radioactive, and so then I knew, and then it started decaying, being less and less radioactive. But I have pieces of both, and that's a story in itself, how we retrieved the pieces of the meteor and the satellite. And I then, knowing that, and especially after, can you imagine how I felt for a whole year, really questioning my own sanity? And now here comes a government official or the cabinet that admits they were involved in a episode with the Russian government, that God indeed saved America. Of course, the Russians at that time were very, very communistic, and more importantly, they were not only agnostics, they were atheists.
Right.
So they certainly wouldn't believe the story that God intervened. They didn't even believe there was a God.
Right.
So evidently, we stuck our chest out and let them assume that we did have an anti-ballistic missile system. And that was the end of that story. Now, you know what? That was 20 years ago. And here we are today, deja vu.
It is deja vu.
A U.S. spy satellite is decaying, and we don't know where it's going. Is God once again going to save America? And if it does hit in America, I don't think it would have been published in our papers, very insignificantly on page 11 or 12 somewhere, in order to eliminate liability. I've come to find out through the legal system that if they publish somewhat like that, then they can consider that a warning to the public.
Right.
And then they're not liable. They don't want to take a chance again like happened, because they probably realize that, I think God might be ticked off at us. He never got the glory for the first episode.
Right. Interesting.
And so the second episode, I'm giving a spin on it myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would love to hear your spin on what's going on here with this recent satellite that many people, I'm sure, are aware of now because it has.
No,
made...
they're not. I've talked to several people. And,
really?
And this thing is full of, did you know, once I got involved with this, I dug in deeper, and when I wrote this book, you know, book writers go into an extreme amount of research.
Sure.
They don't use all the material. I've come to find out what our program's all about with when we send up satellites. Do you realize? Because I dealt with Bill Nelson. You know, he's a senator for the state of Florida.
Okay, gotcha.
And got answers back from him. And the only way I was able to do that was I sort of masked the questionnaire that I sent him. You know, whenever they were getting ready to shoot off the satellite,
right,
that had plutonium on board.
Right.
Out of NASA's project off the Cape.
I remember that, and a lot of people were having issues with it and throwing their arms up in the air.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Is this the satellite?
I'm asking that question.
I'm wondering.
Is it the satellite? It certainly wasn't powered by Cell A batteries.
Right.
If they used nuclear power for their source of power in space.
Now here's
it. And if it doesn't have uranium-235 on board, it has plutonium. Did you know plutonium is the most poisonous element that exists on the face of the earth?
I did not know that. I knew it was one of like the top five, but I didn't know it was the number one.
It is the top one, and I complained about it to Bill Nelson, Senator Bill Nelson, back when he was a congressman. And I did it in this way. This is funny. You want to hear the episode?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I'm a clam digger.
Okay.
And I love to fish and go to Sebastian and get clams.
Okay.
So I said, this satellite's going off, Congressman, can you assure me that my future life with digging clams and eating them is not going to be deterred by this satellite if it crashes in the Atlantic Ocean off of when it gets off the pad and it crashes? Won't it poison the waters? And there go my clams.
And what was his response?
And so I put it in a tongue-in-cheek kind of a
right
format so I could get an answer. You know
right
what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
If I
absolutely
were to tell him this is going to violate, we're going to kill people, blah, blah, blah,
right,
then I would just fade like the rest of the guys. So he answered it. Please do not be afraid. I got this letter. It's really neat. Please do not be afraid. You'll be able to eat clams. And so he kept it on that low-level complaint.
Right. Or it would be something to the fact of, no, don't worry, you will still be able to eat clams, just not off the coast of Florida.
No, he didn't say that. He just said, we've got all kinds of ways of self-contained ways if it crashes, implicating what I came to find out later, that most of the plutonium and the nuclear power is contained in maybe where it could, let's say, extend the poisoning of the land 100 years. It would take a time for the element that contains it, the lead and the they put it into containment is what they do, JB.
Right.
And so when it does crashes, this generation won't suffer, but our great grandkids are gonna die.
Yeah, no, I
it'll be too,
yeah,
be too late for them to complain.
Okay, so go ahead. No, sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So Bill Nelson answered. Now, you know, God's not gonna let things just ride. You know, he's a strange power. You know, he's supreme, and he always seems to get his way. So what happens? Deja vu, a U.S. spy satellite. Same thing. The Russians won. Now ours is decaying, and they're warning us.
Yeah.
On page 11. There can be a great deal amount of damage and blah blah blah. A great deal. It could wipe out a state if it were to break up in enough pieces.
It could
spread. Spread over an area. Who's going to measure? Who is going to measure that kind of a scenario?
Who knows? Yeah. And you know, you want to hear something even funnier, and you can kind of add this little twist to the story as well. Is as we are doing this episode here, we have the space shuttle up in space right now doing spacewalks and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if secretly we're going to try to do something with this satellite in the way of trying to fix it or try to switch its course. Who knows? I mean, it is kind of a scary situation, being that you go back a few years ago, it may even been like 10 years ago, where they were going to launch a secret military satellite with the plutonium on board. Everybody was having fits about it. And then you heard it kind of disappear. But I still think they launched it off, and this could be this.
Yeah, no, they launched, but they said it went to Mars or someplace.
Yeah,
which is baloney. The bottom line is what you're saying is extremely interesting. But let me correct an assumption here.
Sure, go ahead.
We don't have the anti-ballistic missile system quite accurately in space. We do have a laser system.
Right.
That I personally believe is on board our shuttles, is on board our space stations. And because this involves another area that's a little bizarre, I don't want to get into it now.
Right, right.
An invention. All this stuff gave me some background where I actually got involved in coming up with an invention that I call the Tommy E. It was a ceramic gun in space on a platform that could shoot laser systems and beams. Electronic beams at objects throughout the world.
Interesting.
And President Bush Sr. responded to it, and also the Department of Commerce, the head of the copyright inventions in the Department of Commerce responded to it. So I knew I had, but they stole that from me. So
gotcha.
Because I asked for billions of dollars because they took, I put the concept in the Library of Commerce under the inventions. That's too bizarre to get into now.
Right.
I really think I'm a kook. So, but let's stay on a level that everyone can understand, especially if we could help some people with this particular site. Nobody knows, but why would NORAD publish this? They pretty well know that this baby is going to hit somewhere on the planet. They said so in the article.
No, yeah.
You read the same article?
No, they did. Go ahead.
All right, another thing they said, though. They said that there's a possibility that they might use this anti-ballistic missiles to shoot it down.
Yeah, in the article that I read, it did mention something about an anti-ballistic missile system, but it wasn't 100% confirmed that they were going to try to use it, but yet it was thrown out there, you know, as a possibility, let's put it that way.
The reason why they don't want to use it is they're afraid that they'll disintegrate it and it'll spread over a decay area much larger than where it might hit. So if it hits in, let's say, near Chernobyl in Russia, we won't care.
Right.
If it hits in China, we won't care. If it hits in the Indian Ocean, which one of the Russian satellites, 1403 hit, at 1409 hit one time. Because all of these satellites, whether they be Russian or be United States, are contaminated with poisonous fuel.
Sure, sure.
Now, my point is simple at this time. It brings up a contemporary concept that I'm going to broadcast. I might as well broadcast it with you first, give you the premiere.
Go for it.
Just yesterday came out an article by President Vladimir Putin who said that arms race has resumed. And he's talking on behalf which is now the Russian Federation. And by the way, he's a religious man. He's an Orthodox. He's a Russian Orthodox. And is a very devout believer. He went from being a communist atheist to an Orthodox Christian. So I have a tendency to somewhat believe what they publish at this point, and it's not propaganda.
Right.
But they're a little bit concerned that we decided that that the agreements, the anti-ballistic missile treaty, which was signed by Reagan and everyone in the door endorsed, that says we will not put any, we won't try anything in Cuba, you don't try anything on us. And President George Bush today, as we speak, declared to void and cancel the anti-ballistic missile treaty and put anti-ballistic missiles in the belly of Russia, in Poland.
Interesting.
And the excuse given is to protect, I don't know who, from Iran. The Russians don't want protection, so who are we protecting? Israel? Who are we protecting? Poland? Who are we protecting? Isn't it a little absurd for the government to completely rely on us remaining totally ignorant at all times? Somewhere don't we catch on in our lifetime that if we almost came to brink of war by deterring Russian missiles being planted in the belly of the United States, and they back off, what makes us think that we can go ahead and proceed now and sort of pound our chest like a gorilla,
right,
and decide to put ballistic, the same thing they wanted to do, to put ours under their belly? Putin said, you have declared an arms race that we did not want. See, they're busy trying to rebuild their entire country,
more or less.
The entire country, because especially the economic part of their country, they're rebuilding. And by the way, they made leaps and bounds. They doubled their GNP in 1 year.
Right.
Doubled it. Because they have more natural resources than we have. They have more oil in Russia than all the rest of the world put together.
Wow.
And so they know they have these natural resources. And they're trying to rebuild their country, including rebuilding their faith base, becoming Christian. Putin has, and I have firsthand information about this. I was, when I was in Malta being knighted, I met the Russian ambassador there who had experienced a profound religious experience. A lot of the leadership in Russia were no longer the atheists that we still try to paint to be. They're devout people that want to rebuild their country. I'm not sticking up for them. I'm not trying to violate the Neutrality Act, getting involved in our politics with the world. But George W. Bush made the most serious mistake he's ever made in his entire career and his entire presidency. To decide to deploy missiles in the belly of Russia, we have just as well declared war on them.
Right.
And I think we're gonna suffer for that.
I got a weird feeling there as well. Now, people are probably wondering how this ties all into the shipwreck and searching for the statue and all that kind of good stuff. And before we kind of move along here with this program, kind of tie it, give us a little brief synopsis on how this all ties in together. And then I want to talk about where we are to present day with your whole treasure hunting experience, more or less.
Well, the treasure hunting experience is the trigger. The gun or the barrel are the episodes. That's the bullets.
Gotcha.
It all ties in with one single statement, the Golden Madonna and Christ Child statue.
Right.
Because myself being a religious man and a man of faith, obviously I wouldn't even be where I'm at today or even talking to you about all these different incidents that came across my path. The Madonna and Christ Child was seen 200 years ago, plus or minus, by a very, very devout man called St. John Bosco. And he was a profoundly, how do I say it? They even, the Vatican named him as a saint. And he took care of orphan kids.
Gotcha.
And he had a vision. And, hey, this was before you and I were born and before I think it was after the fact, but he had a vision of the Madonna that was on board my shipwreck was placed in the Red Square of Russia.
Gotcha. Interesting.
And so, yeah, it is interesting. And so, obviously, seeing something in the future, much like Nostradamus, because Russia was a very strong anti-religious work of the devil, because it had... Made museums out of all the churches. But look how quickly Russia rebounded into a Christian nation once more. Over 300 million, the entire country of Russia is predominantly Russian Orthodox. And they've returned back to their faith. And oddly enough, St. Vladimir was the one that introduced it. Now, I'm not calling St. Vladimir Putin a saint, but I am saying that I think some of his ideas and his... Everyone says, well, he was a KGB agent, blah, blah, blah. But I do believe that if St. Bosco had a accurate vision given to him by the Almighty, that he saw a golden Madonna and Christ Child long before I was born.
Right.
Placed in the Red Square as a symbol of peace and a symbol of Christian unity. Then why am I involved in retrieving it through a shipwreck with all the rest of the stuff that we've talked about? That's at least a four-volume story.
Right.
And I've given you a shot today, and it does. That is the centerpiece. That's why we, and everything we do today, we we place the Madonna in the centerpiece, not only symbolic of the birth of the most influential human being in the world, Christ, but a symbol of something far beyond our understanding. And there's nothing wrong with saying you don't understand, but I can assure you one thing. This Madonna, when it's retrieved, is going to go exactly where the Almighty wants it to go.
Good.
And because He's decided to allow me to be a part of this story, I'm grateful and very thankful because it's made my life exciting.
Absolutely. Now let me ask you this, because I know we only have a few minutes left. We have several minutes, I should say, with this episode, but not enough time to kind of dive into everything. And that's why we're doing this with episodes. If people are kind of wondering why we don't just do one long show, it's because this is a really lengthy, long story. I know you have a book, and we'll plug your book here in just a second. But why did you recently go to Spain?
Well, obviously, I've become a hero with them.
Gotcha.
I'm also been in communication with Juan Carlos I, his people in the palace in Madrid. I'm very much, recognized by the Ministry of Culture in Spain, in Madrid. They have a museum there called the Museo de Americas. The entire history of their maritime history and their all the things that happened in developing the New World. They were the power, as witnessed by all the Spanish names in California, and
right.
Goes on and on and on.
Right.
But the bottom line is all these shipwrecks, which there were about 3,000 of them off of Florida, were all mostly Spanish, containing treasure, because that was their way of doing business. They almost quit farming and quit doing production in Spain. They became an empire that was interested in getting gold and silver and conducting
trade and stuff like that, but with gold and silver.
Trade and stuff and throughout the world. They were the greatest maritime power that, until the United States and Britain got involved, that existed in the history of the world. And going to Spain, being invited to go, and I was able, JB, to take pictures that were never before taken.
Oh, wow, very
good.
By
an individual, of the actual museum pieces, the gold, the stuff they have, the Peruvian, the Mayan stuff. And I put it into that video. Did you get a piece of that?
I did get the video, and I did see it, and it's definitely a fantastic video. And you have a lot of promotional materials about this real life treasure story, or this real life treasure hunt, we should say. I should also say that you are what I like to call the modern day Indiana Jones, almost. Because it's really kind of it's fascinating, and you do have a book out. And why don't you tell everybody how they can purchase your book and how they can get a copy of your book and a lot of your literature?
Well, obviously they have to get the book through the Academy. I suppose you can do it through our email that I can give you now.
Yeah, go for it.
St. Michael Academy. No, it would be under www.archangelmichael.com.
Okay.
Or at msn.com. archangelmichael@msn.com. And order the book through the email. Or you can call our phone number, which is very simple, 835-3557, area code 561. 835-3557 and order the book, or they can listen to your program and order it. The book itself is quite lengthy. It's 734 pages, and we're really hitting the highlights as I speak to you.
Right.
And it's an all-encompassing thing. It really reads like fiction, but it's all based on facts that actually happened. And I don't think I'm gifted enough with an imagination to come up with something like all this. I wish I was. I'd start writing fiction.
Oh, yeah, but I was going to say, you're in the wrong line of work if you're able to come up with stuff like this, you know?
Exactly.
Give us a little bit of a tease about what we're going to be covering and what we're going to talk about the next episode after this one.
Well, we've already talked about the fact that treasure leading sites off of Jupiter, Florida, and the Bahamas, all brought through divine intervention. We've talked about the Russian killer sat falling from the atmosphere out of control, and NORAD detects the problem as it continued to fall, but then it collided with a meteor. I guess it was thrown by an angel. I don't think God does the dirty work. I think he lets the angels do that for him.
Gotcha.
Fragments falling and streaking a path across Great Slave Canada, trailing to Jupiter, and of course all free falling into the Atlantic Ocean, marking the site of the Golden Madonna. And of course, South Florida Today did a story on me in 1975, wanting to know, was this Golden Madonna going to be in a watery tomb, or is it just in the vault to be opened by certain people as God proceeds?
Is a very interesting question, and I want to dive into that more next episode as well. Where is it located? What's it located in? What's it located? You know, if you can give us a location, sort of, is there any plans in raising it? All that kind of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
is stuff.
That I have before the state of. They gave me permission to raise the satellite.
There you go.
And they've already done that in writing.
Good.
But they won't let me get the Madonna.
Interesting.
See what little piggies and hogs they are?
Yep.
They want it to be in Tallahassee, and I don't think Tallahassee's where it should go.
And hold that thought, and we'll get to that next episode. Captain Bob, I want to really thank you for coming on board today and discussing this real-life treasure story. And stay tuned next week for more information on this real-life treasure story with Captain Bob.